Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. Joining us on the line this morning is Chris Eden. He's the National Director for Bridges for Peace. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Good to be with you, and I'm a Chai FM fan, so it's lovely to be on Chai FM as well.
That is awesome. That is really, really great to hear. So ahead of the interview, I was just looking at some of the amazing work that Bridges for Peace does. And it's really just an incredible organization that that actually bridges, I guess, across the world. Tell us, for any of our listeners who don't know much about it, give us a sense of the organization.
So, Howard, we're a Christian organization first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And stand basically upon the belief that the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel is as it should be, according to the Bible. And you'll find that the support base of Bridges for Peace is Christians who not only want to speak about Israel, care about Israel, but actually want to be practically engaged. So on the one hand, Bridges for Peace is a very practical organization in Israel. We have projects on the ground, distribute food, help with Aliyah. But on the other hand, we live in a world, and the church is not that different, that really doesn't have a good grasp of the significance of Israel, how we should relate to it, let alone the geopolitics of the region or the realities on the ground in Israel. So a large part of our activities, for instance, in South Africa, are driven by educating people about Israel. And we've identified the church leaders, pastors in that community, because, of course, they're people who give leadership to others. So we've invested over the last, we've been going for 25 years in South Africa, but probably from about 2001, which was, of course, the infamous conference in Durban, we've really realized that if people are just going to be dependent on the media for their understanding of Israel, they're going to get swept away by the emotion and the difficulty of discerning what is true and what is not true when it comes to the information coming about Israel and the Palestinians. So we've initiated a drive to reach leaders, and that's been the core of what we've done for about the last 10 years, is reaching leaders, helping them to understand, actually equipping them to deal with the media themselves, trying understanding Israel and the Bible in the context of the Bible as well. Yeah.
Because there's been a tremendous, tremendous amount of negativity as well from the churches here in South Africa. And there's been this push to move away, to break this connection somehow between Israel and Jews, hasn't there?
There has been. I've gone out of my way to try and listen, attend a lot of the Christian activities, Christian conferences that wouldn't agree with my perception and my reading of how we as Christians should relate to it. Mm. So I'm very up to speed with it, and I think part of it rests upon the history of the church, where you had a theology which took root, which is called supersessionism or replacement theology, that said God's finished with Israel, Israel the land, Israel the people have no further role to play. Right. And many denominations and individual Christians are still locked into that. So often that herds them into the camp of those who don't believe Israel should exist. And they unwittingly become part of a process which I don't think they desire the outcome, potential outcome, that some of Israel's enemies would like to see. But they become a part of that process. So it's one of the reasons why we do what we do, because we do believe that Christians should, like Ruth, be standing with Israel and identifying with Israel, not to just gloss over the challenges.
Absolutely, in Israel. Of course, yes.
Yeah.
you know, deal with some of those difficulties, confront them, but you can only do so if you actually understand the facts and you're not screaming emotional, shrill rhetoric, which is what seems to be going on around us at the moment.
Even within those conferences that I attended, where in fact most of the input was coming from Middle Eastern Christians, I was blown away by the what I would call the emotional manipulation, sort of taking away people's ability to rationally think into the situation by overwhelming with personal stories, unverifiable, a lot of it what is shared in those sort of situations.
Right. Yeah, because and that's the problem. You know, we're living in a world where over the last 10 years, as social media has just become more and more of a stronger tool, emotions actually trump anything. Facts matter, seem to matter a lot less. It's this victimhood, victim wins at the end of the day, hurt, outrage, all of these things win out, which means the greater that you can portray all of that, even at the expense of the facts, you'll win that round. And unfortunately, I think that that's what we're dealing with here.
I think so. It's certainly, if we look at the inputs of certain role players, for instance, the South African government, South African government's approach to this hasn't even seemingly put the role of Hamas in all of this under the spotlight, hasn't gone to the key drivers behind all of this or the triggers in the present conflict, but also not looked at the key drivers that divide or stand in the way of a true resolution to the situation in Israel.
And you put out, is that what motivated you to put out the statement that you did? I think around about the 20th of May, you put out a very, very powerful letter that set things out.
I think so, because you know what my observation was, is that almost every one of those points that we included have been overlooked or misrepresented. You know, so for instance, the whole land issue in Israel and the ability to reclaim properties, people just have no appreciation of that. That was portrayed purely as a sort of a settler land grab, which was anything but that. It's got a lot of history behind it.
Sure.
There's layers of complex legislation that govern situations where you've had multiple entities from the Ottoman Empire through to Jordan to Israel ruling over a piece of land and sequestration of land by government governing bodies. So, you know, all of that just has fallen by the wayside and been turned into emotion. And unfortunately, a lot of people just live off the headlines, live off the slogans, and that's what I think is a classic case of what happened in this conflict. And then, of course, you do have entities such as Hamas. Their very charter is dedicated to the destruction of Israel, and they have exploited all of those factors to stir the emotions and to justify their actions. And actually, one can look at every one of the triggers that I certainly included and challenge them. So, but that's the reality on the ground. You have an entity.
So because what do you think it is? Because I can't figure it out yet. The Hamas Charter, as you've correctly referred to, talks about Jews will be hunted down in Israel. Israel will not be, the land will not be free until it's free of Jews, that you will hunt Jews down from hiding behind a rock and the trees will point out the Jews so that you can kill him. It's very, very clear what Hamas is about. It's clear what they've done. They've put their charter into action. How is it possible for often decent people to ignore that in favor of the rhetoric? What do you think it is?
You know, I think in a sense, what we have, we live in a world where Israel is held to its standard and everybody is held to seemingly a different standard. So on the one hand, I'm happy that Israel is held to its standard, because if that was not the case, that would be far more disastrous than, let's say, a moral equivalent, or not a moral equivalent, but a standard which is applied to everyone. So, in a sense, I'm happy for Israel to abide by a different standard. And I think that in itself is part of the problem, is that Israel is seen to abide by a different standard, and that challenges a world where plumb lines, standards, biblical values are being challenged on a massive scale. You know, we live in a world which is, even though standards and those type of things are what creates order in society, that is the very thing that people rebel against. So, in a sense, I think it's part of Israel's. If we were to go back to the very beginning of Israel, that's the role of Israel, to be a set apart nation. And as much as people hate the thought that they need to acknowledge that, their very actions acknowledge that Israel lives by a different standard.
So interesting.
And somehow people feel Jerusalem is the center of the world. So, in a sense, it becomes everybody's battle.
It's so funny what you're saying. It's so right. Because ironically, people who scoff at the whole notion of the biblical role, the role of the Bible and of God in the whole thing, in the whole process, because of course today we need to feel superior to that sort of thing. We roll our eyes at religion, but actually, what's happening here and what you're getting caught up in as that person rolling your eyes at it actually proves exactly what you're fighting against. It's an incredible irony.
You know, I do a lot of, you know, programs, presentations and things like that. And, I look at Israel, and I represent it as the nut in the nutcracker. And on the one lever arm is a world that is fighting for secular humanism, you know, the importance of the individual over even the importance of the community. And on the other hand, you have other religions which are applying the pressure on the other lever. So Israel sits as the nut in the center of that, with everybody desperate to break that standard, and yet, you know, everybody in essence looks to that standard because they realize, if you look at Israel today, I mean, how could a country in the words of the world is so wrong be so successful?
You just
cannot equate the two.
Chris Eaton is the National Director for Bridges for Peace. Thank you for your incredible work and the support and everything that you do.